Morning, everyone, and welcome to the 2025 half-year results presentation. I'm pleased to welcome you today together with our CFO, Angélique Cristofari. I will start with a short introduction on where we stand in our transformation journey and with a brief reminder of the Renouveau 28 strategic plan ambition, followed by our key financial indicators for the first half 2025. Then I will provide you an overview on the key business highlights per brand. Then Angélique will walk you through our financial performance for the first half of the year, and I will close the presentation by providing you with some perspectives and insights of the retail market. We will take your questions at the end of the presentation, obviously. Let's start with a quick update on the turnaround plan status. Casino turnaround is a long-term three-phase ambition: restore, recover, and grow. After an intense period of transformation, we are getting close to complete the first phase, restore. Let me remind you that in 2024, we have successfully completed major restructuring projects, of which the managerial and organizational restructuring. The definition and the launch of the Renouveau 28 strategic plan presented last November with the objective to generate value over the period 2025-2028 and decline per brand with specific ambition levels. Today, I can say there is still a long way to go, but we are making progress in implementing our Renouveau 28 strategic plan. Let me give you a quick reminder of our Renouveau 28 strategic plan. Our positioning and our strategy are both very clear. We are a group of seven well-known brands that are all unique and complementary: Casino, Cdiscount, Franprix, Monoprix, Naturalia, Spar, and Vival. We are now fully engaged in delivering our plan to offer our customers the best brand in convenience retailing. In order to achieve this ambition, we are accelerating our growth in three key markets. We want to be the preferred place for daily food shopping, offering a quality product range that meets local needs, with ranges tailored to different expectations, developing the private label assortment and product innovation. Second, we want to have a significant share of our sales in the highly profitable quick meal solution market, particularly in urban areas, by offering a range of products suited to all daily consumption occasions: breakfast, lunch, snack, etc. Finally, we want to be the leader in providing new everyday services to strengthen consumer affection for our brands and increase customer traffic in our stores. Let me now present you our key financial highlights for Q2 and first half 2025. First semester 2025 Casino results are encouraging, mainly driven by two factors: a favorable market environment, especially during the second quarter, with positive trends in retail in general in France and in convenience market specifically. Angélique will give you later some insight on that one. And as well, driven by our first result of our Renouveau strategic plan. Regarding Q2 and H1, sales performance, and for the first time since the financial restructuring, we are positive like-for-like sales growth. In Q2, net sales reached 2.1 billion euro, with a like-for-like growth of 2.4% versus Q2 2024. H1 net sales reached 4.1 billion euros, with a like-for-like growth of 0.5% versus H1 2024. Regarding our profitability, adjusted EBITDA before lease payment is up by 12% versus last year and reached 286 million euros. First results reflect the efficiency of the first cost optimization, store management rationalization measure, and last but not least, the improvement of our retail gross margin by +0.9 percentage points. The adjusted EBITDA after lease payment reached 55 million euros versus 26 million euros last year. Finally, our free cash flow result reached -48 million euros in first half 2025, as an improvement of 366 million euros versus H1 2024. These figures are encouraging, even if Casino turnaround is not yet at full swing. I will now provide you with an overview of the business H1 highlight per brand, starting with Monoprix. Monoprix sales reached 2 billion euro in H1, representing a like-for-like growth of +1.1% and 2.9% for the Q2 versus PY. These results reflect the good performance of Monoprix, especially in fresh products, non-food categories such as fashion and home decoration. Several initiatives have been launched in the quick meal solution market. Monoprix launched three La Cantine pilots, posting encouraging growth. Seven new food-to-go concessions stands open with the five key players offering a curated range from healthy snacking to Italian and Japanese cuisine. During Q2, Monoprix introduced a new quick meal solution assortment with more than 90 additional SKUs rolled out in all our stores. Progress has been also made in other categories. We review our fruit and vegetables assortment and our price positioning to boost our sales. We reopened six in-store meat processing labs to answer customer needs and improve category performance. During Q2, we also enter in a first phase of a new beauty concept in two stores. Regarding the Monoprix and Monop store network management, 11 new stores opened over the period, while 13 underperforming ones were closed as part of our ongoing optimization strategy. Before switching to Franprix, I would like to underline the good progress on shrinkage reduction for Monoprix. Now let's have a look at Franprix. Franprix sales reached 779 million euros in H1, representing a stable like-for-like growth and +1.7% for Q2. The execution of the Renouveau plan includes several important developments. First, the deployment of our performing oxygen concept in 32 stores in H1. As far as our quick meal solution strategic priority is concerned, we have proceeded with a new assortment and the introduction of product innovation, such as Krispy Kreme brand. We also launched several customer-focused commercial initiatives, the new loyalty program BB Plus, the Prix Franc initiative, which includes 30 essential articles with very competitive prices. Finally, the rollout of two in-store services, Franclé and Nanny Bag. We also developed specific B2B promotional offers under the concept of Buy More, Pay Less to help our franchisees in boosting their sales and profit. Finally, in terms of store network management, we maintain a disciplined approach with 17 new store openings, 40 stores closure or exits, and six stores converted to franchise. Let's now turn to Casino, Vival, and SPAR brand. Casino proximity brands' turnaround remains highly challenging. Even if like-for-like sales are break-even for H1 and +2% for Q2 versus PY, we launched during this semester two new store concepts. We enter in test phase for SPAR store brand with a new Origins concept. We also opened the first Casino store under the unified Casino brand in Lyon. We accelerate our focus on quick meal solution. We opened five new Cœur de Blé shop-in-shop locations, and we deployed Monoprix fresh snacking assortment as well. We continue to roll out our Coup de Pouce loyalty program with 59,000 additional subscribers in H1. Then we also launched specific commercial initiatives for our franchisees to help them to boost sales and profitability of their store. We introduced B2B promotional offers like in Franprix, Buy More, Pay Less type. And we launched new functionality of Casino Pro franchisee ordering tool that helps them to better manage their store performance. In terms of store network management, we opened 64 new selling points. 768 stores were exited or closed, with circa 600 stores linked to the Puig and Mindmaster franchisee departures. Additionally, 48 integrated stores were converted to franchise. Now let me give you a few words about Naturalia. Naturalia sales reached 160 million euros in H1, representing a like-for-like growth of 7.5% and 7.8% in Q2. We are continuing the rollout of the store concept La Ferme with nine stores deployed in the first half of 2025. And in addition, we launched a test of Naturalia Corners with our SPAR stores. We are also continuing focusing on our quick meal solution priority by testing a new organic QMS offer in six Naturalia stores. We continue to drive customer-focused commercial initiatives to enhance customer experience and loyalty. In terms of store network management, 11 stores were closed and one integrated store was converted to franchise. And last but not least, Cdiscount. Cdiscount H1 sales reached 457 million euros, like-for-like decreased by -2.4% in H1 and stable in Q2 versus PY. Nevertheless, the H1 period was marked by a solid B2C performance. The marketplace now represents circa 68% of GMV, +2 points versus 2024, posting for H1 a growth of 9% versus PY and respectively +7% and 11% for Q1 and Q2. Direct sales also returned to growth in Q2, an increase of 2%, supported by a strong performance in telephony and video games category. Our marketing plan is delivering strong results with 820,000 new customers acquired by the end of the semester and an improvement of our net promoter score of +2.7 points. Additionally to this, media investment plans are now fully deployed, supporting both short-term sales uplift and long-term brand equity. The H1 period was also characterized by positive B2B actions. Finally, Cdiscount continued to drive technological innovation, including the testing of an in-house conversational chatbot powered by generative artificial intelligence, aimed at enhancing search functionality and improving conversion, obviously. Across our brand, we are also executing three transversal levers to drive cost improvement and to increase group bottom line. As far as the first lever is concerned, we are keeping or streamlining our store portfolio to eliminate loss-making stores and coordinate selective expansion with profitability as a key driver versus market share at any cost. From January to end of June 2025, 832 stores left our network's portfolio, and during the same period of time, we also opened 92 stores with an acceleration during Q2 with 61 stores. To drive cost-saving plan, we are optimizing head office, reducing HQ and store occupancy costs. We are mutualizing IT and logistics. We are as well drastically managing our investment and good non-for-resale purchasing. Last but not least, our retail purchasing alliance with Intermarché and Auchan is in place since March 2025, and it's supporting our retail gross margin improvement. Before giving the floor to Angélique, who will present our financial results, I would like to focus on our CSR commitment. Let me tell you first that our corporate social activity is an integrated part of our strategy. Our new 2025-2030 CSR policy, called Plus Proche, Plus Engagé, is structured around four pillars: team, products, planet, and territory. Team covers issues relating to equality, diversity, and fight against discrimination. Products cover the commitment to environment, health, and society. Planet covers climate issues, biodiversity, and protecting of natural resources. And last but not least, territory is a response to the need of local community, specifically for solidarity initiative. In this context, we are maintaining our objective for 2030. Let me now hand over to Angélique. Angélique.
Thank you, Philippe. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be with you and Philippe today to present our half-year results. Here is a summary of our half-year financial figures, which I will detail later on. As you can see, however, from this table, the group performed as follows. First, a return to net sales like-for-like growth over the half-year period at 0.5%, of which +2.4% over Q2, driven by a more favorable market environment and some initial results of the Renouveau 2028 plan, which Philippe has just shared with you. Secondly, a +12% growth in adjusted EBITDA, thanks to those initial measures to streamline the store network, to reduce cost with cost savings at head office levels, also to reduce dis-synergies and implementation of action plans to increase sale margin and reduce shrinkage. Third, a doubling in adjusted EBITDA after lease payments. Our consolidated net loss group share came out at -210 million, mainly due to net financial expenses of continuing operations. Keep in mind that this figure is not comparable to last year, where the +39 million net profit for H1 included +3.5 billion related to the conversion of debt into capital and a net loss of 2.5 billion from discontinued operations. Free cash flow before financial expenses remains negative at -48 million. This 366 million improvement is derived from various effects. First, the growth in adjusted EBITDA after lease payments, a better control of operating expenses, but a basis of comparison adversely affected by the Q1 2024 payment of 153 million of tax and social liabilities placed under a moratorium in 2023. Net debt stood at 1.4 billion, up 205 million compared to last December, mainly impacted by 185 million cash outs from discontinued operations. The group also reports today a liquidity position of 1.24 billion at the end of June. Let's now go into the market environment. According to Circana data, and more specifically the FMCG category, value sales across all channels are up only +0.3% in H1, with little deflation. The positive news is that volumes are slightly up at +0.5% versus last year, driven by favorable weather conditions and despite a negative calendar effect since last year was a leap year. As you can see on this slide, the trend for H1 is moving in the opposite direction to last year, where we saw decline in sales value, decline in volumes, positive inflation, and negative mix effects. In this context, the convenience store segment continues to outperform other stores' formats in both value, +6.1%, and volumes, +5.2%. This supports our strategic positioning in line with those changing in consumer trends and also contributes to our commercial performance over H1. First of all, a quick overview of group sales and GMV figures before going into detail by brand. H1 2025 net sales totaled 4.1 billion, up 0.5% like-for-like. This performance must be split into, first, a return to growth for our convenience brands, up +1% like-for-like, with growth at Monoprix and Naturalia essentially. Second, a -2.4% decline for Cdiscount, still impacted by this assertive strategy of streamlining direct sales in favor of its marketplace. However, Cdiscount sales have continued to improve sequentially since 2024, and its marketplace is now 68% of its products. I would add that this H1 performance reflects an improvement in Q2 with +2.4% like-for-like after this decrease in Q1 by -1.2%. The same goes for GMV. H1 figure came to 6 billion group level. After the -3.6% decline in Q1, there was a little improvement in Q2, the half year ending at a -1.6% change. Let's now focus on Monoprix. Monoprix net sales amounted to circa 2 billion, up 1.1% like-for-like, of which +2.9% in Q2. Monoprix City shops are back to growth, +1% like-for-like in H1, with this further good momentum at Monop for +4%. Food sales were up +0.4% at Monoprix City, driven by a good performance from fresh products in Q2, particularly fruit and vegetables, which benefited from price repositioning and operational measures to promote these products in-store. Non-food sales, with a growth by 2.4%, once again supported the trend, driven by fashion and home, +5.3%, and textiles in particular at +7.2%. The brand Monoprix recorded a +1.1% increase in footfall over H1. In terms of EBITDA, Monoprix adjusted EBITDA totaled 186 million, up 17 million year on year, including -8 million dis-synergies. Let me remind you that the group reported dis-synergies in the other segment last year, in June 2024, which amounted to 25 million. As from this year, these synergies were reallocated to group entities following the implementation of our group shared service centers. Excluding this 8 million negative impact from these synergies, Monoprix adjusted EBITDA would have increased by 25 million. By order of materiality, this change is driven by the positive volume effect, the improved margins on the back of a favorable mix effect with fashion and home essentially, The reduction in shrinkage following the plan launched last year and cost savings, which partially offset inflation and a rise in store staff costs. Now let's move to Franprix. Franprix net sales came to 779 million in H1, flat on a like-for-like basis, of which plus 1.7% in Q2. In Q1, Franprix performance was penalized by price cuts rolled out in September 2024 and the non-renewal of the dilutive Bibingo sales operations in January 25. This was offset in Q2 by those favorable weather conditions and the good performance of stores converted to the Oxygen new concepts. Footfall rose by plus 4.9% in H1, of which plus 7.2% in Q2, as a result of commercial offer developments. The Prix Franc price campaign, which Philippe mentioned in Q1, where prices were cut and frozen on 30 private label products. The launch of the new BB Plus loyalty program in May and the development of services such as Franprix and the Nanny Bag luggage security service. Franprix adjusted EBITDA totaled 60 million in H1, up 11 million year on year. Excluding a 3 million negative impact from those dyssynergies, adjusted EBITDA would have risen by 14 million, driven by cost savings, which have more than offset inflation, and lower impairment of receivables as a result of actions to streamline the store network. Next slide is dedicated to Casino brands. Casino net sales amounted to 626 million in H1, virtually stable on a like-for-like basis, of which plus 2% in Q2. Q1 performance was particularly impacted by March, which saw a seasonal slowdown that occurred earlier than in 2024, with Easter and European spring holidays not occurring until April this year. The Q2 performance was supported by the high level of activity at Sherpa stores in April and a successful start of the summer season for seasonal stores. Footfall is recovering a little bit with a limited decline of minus 0.2% in Q2. Adjusted EBITDA of Casino amounted to 14 million in H1, down 10 million year on year. Excluding the impact of both 10 million in dyssynergies on operating costs and 12 million of dyssynergies in logistics, adjusted EBITDA would have increased by 12 million, essentially supported by the streamlining of the store network. Naturalia net sales came to 260 million in H1, up plus 7.5% like-for-like. The brand definitely benefited from a good momentum in the organic market, but also the success of its La Ferme concept and the effectiveness of measures taken in terms of product offering and assortment. E-commerce sales also performed well in H1 with double-digit growth on the brand's website, plus 12.3%, while the partnership with Uber Eats on quick commerce continues to be rolled out, presently covering 38 stores. Naturalia kept benefiting from a strong growth in footfall, up plus 8.4% in H1, and a solid loyalty customer base since 74% of its revenue is generated by loyalty card holders. Adjusted EBITDA for Naturalia amounted to 12 million in H1, up plus 3 million year on year, driven by volume effects and cost discipline. As for Cdiscount, the brand has enjoyed positive momentum since the start of this year, thanks to its relaunch strategy initiated in Q3 2024. Like-for-like, JMV has returned to growth, supported by Marketplace JMV with a 9% growth in H1, while the direct sales JMV keeps recovering. Cdiscount net sales came to 457 million in H1, down minus 2.4% on a like-for-like basis, confirming the sequential improvement underway since last year. Adjusted EBITDA came to 27 million in H1, down 3 million year-on-year, due to higher marketing costs as part of this reinvestment plan, which was, however, partially offset by improved margins and lower costs. By walking through the P&L statement, we arrive at a consolidated net loss of 210 million, including a net loss from continuing operations of 204 million and a reduced net loss from discontinued operation of 6 million. As far as continuing operations are concerned, the net loss was mainly impacted by a reduction in other operating expenses, which amounted to 20 million in H1 versus 609 million last year. These included this year 70 million related to asset disposal, mainly real estate properties, -66 million asset impairment losses, of which 46 million goodwill impairment, and 14 million restructuring costs. Secondly, there was the negative impact of 179 million from net financial expenses, mainly due to a net cost of debt of 94 million and interest expenses on lease liabilities for 74 million, and the financial cost of the four installment credit card payment at Cdiscount for 8 million. The free cash flow reported for H1 2025 was a deficit of 48 million, with an improvement, however, of 366 million versus last year. This change reflects the growth in adjusted EBITDA after lease payments, the better control of operating expenses, and a positive impact of 251 million due to the change in working capital. As you know, H1 2024 was marked by the financial restructuring, with a return to normalized payment terms leading to a higher level of disbursement last year. In 2025, we saw the implementation of our suppliers' shared services center with a new organization requiring a complete overhaul of processes and also a strong activity in June 2025, which led to an increase in outstanding amounts. Generally speaking, the basis of comparison had been adversely affected last year by those 153 million of tax and social liabilities placed under moratorium in 2023. Excluding this effect, the free cash flow before financial expenses last year would have been negative for 260 million, and the free cash flow would then have increased by 213 million year-on-year. Now, starting from this -48 million free cash flow, our net debt position has been mainly impacted by net financial expenses of 83 million, 79 million cash flows from discontinued operations and asset disposals, including mainly those 185 million cash outs to the related discontinued activities, but the positive impact of 111 million from real estate disposals. As a result, the net debt has increased by 205 million in H1 this year. You can see on this slide our net debt structure since the financial restructuring. Our RCF had been fully repaid last year in Q2 thanks to the asset disposal and was drawn in Q2 this year for 70 million out of this 711 million facility. The nominal amount of the Quatrim secured bonds has been significantly reduced to 218 million as of June this year as a result of real estate disposals to Groupement Les Mousquetaires and also to Icade. I would add that an additional repayment of 20 million is scheduled for the 1st of August in the coming days, then which will reduce this amount to 198 million. Here is our debt maturity profile. You can see that most of our debt, except our main RCF, assuming that our one-year extension option is exercised. As a reminder, such option is subject to compliance with the December 2025 covenant test. The maturity of our debt, excluding Quatrim, is 1.88 years without extension option and 2.03 years with extension option. Quatrim is due in January 2027, and this instrument has also a one-year extension option at the option of the issuer. In light of this maturity, the group will pay specific attention to changes in its financial structure over the coming months. Now let's move to our liquidity position end of June, which stands at 1.24 billion immediately and fully available. It includes 307 available cash at Casino Finance, our cash pooling entity for the French business, also 641 million in Monoprix reinstated RCF, drawn for 70 million only end of June, and 288 million in other undrawn revolving credit facilities, mainly overdrafts, the Monoprix Exploitation RCF and Monoprix Holding bilateral credit lines. Just as a reminder, under our loan documentations, available cash is defined as cash and cash equivalents, excluding the float or any trapped cash. Now moving on to our financial covenants. As a reminder, the first test date will be on September this year. The financial covenants under the financing agreements include, first, a minimum liquidity which must at least reach 100 million on the last day of each month, as at June, this position is 1.24 billion. At the end of each quarter, the liquidity forecast for each month of the subsequent quarter must also be at least at a minimum of 100 million. Here, our estimated liquidity stands at 0.97 billion at the end of Q3. And the last one is the total net leverage ratio at the end of each quarter, which must be below specific thresholds. As at June, this ratio was 9.75 times, based on a 130 million covenant adjusted EBITDA and 1.3 billion covenant net debt. It does not take into account any pro forma restatement. And I would add that the ceiling of this ratio is set at 8.34 times for September this year. Our EBITDA forecast for Q3 2025 is to ensure the compliance with the September test. So that concludes my presentation. Thank you, and I now turn the floor back to Philippe for his closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you, Angélique. Before concluding this presentation, I would like to provide you with an overview of our market perspective and upcoming challenges that Casino Group will face in the coming month. First of all, I would like to highlight that we are at the right place and at the right moment. Convenience retail market shows a very positive trend aligned with changes in consumer habits, especially in the growing segment of quick meal solution. Main French retailers operate a move towards growing convenience retail sector on which they direct significant investment, and especially in Paris. Rivalry will increase drastically in the upcoming month, most likely leading to territory and price war. In addition, we'll be monitoring important market changes that could have a significant impact, such as inflation, shortage on protein products, or ultra-fast fashion players booming sales in France. From a macroeconomic perspective, we will also face consumption uncertainties, mainly due to low consumer confidence and potential negative impact of upcoming state budget 26 and tax measures to reduce French debt. Now it's a moment to conclude. And I would like to say to conclude and sum up my presentation that we are in a dynamic convenience market at the right place, with the right brands at the right moment, but definitely with an increasingly competition. H1 Casino results are encouraging, driven by two factors, a very favorable Q2 market environment and the execution of our strategic plan. H1 positive signs reinforce our confidence in the trajectory defined by our plan 28, focusing in our three key markets, daily food shopping, quick meal solutions, and everyday services. We'll focus during the coming month on execution of our plan and constantly adapting our model to competition, to market evolutions. I would like to thank you for your attention, and we will now answer your question.
Hello. Do you plan to convene a creditors' meeting in the coming months, specifically to discuss the potential extension of the March 2026 maturity to 2027 and possibly a broader covenant adjustment? So, as you know, we have regular discussions with our creditors, some of them being also part of our shareholders' base. And we only have the operational financings which mature in March this year, but they should benefit from a one-year extension depending on the December 25 covenant test. Given the maturity, as I explained, our intention is, of course, to discuss in due time with our creditors the refinancing of the Term Loan B, which we need to tackle as soon as possible. Second question from Stifel as well. Do you intend to include future cost synergies in the EBITDA covenant calculations starting in Q3, as permitted by the documentation? As explained during my presentation, the June covenant EBITDA does not take into account any such savings, and I'm keeping the option to do so where needed. Third question.
Yeah, third question is for me from Clément Genelot as well. Food inflation provided a significant tailwind in Q2. However, could you share some insight into your performance in terms of volume? Yes, in Q2, volume were positive in almost all the business units, leading to an increase of plus 1.2% in volume. And if I have a close look into Monoprix, for example, the growth that we are posting in volume is mainly driven by fresh products, as well as non-food, which is textile and decoration. Still, FMCG part of our business, which is a major part of our business, is in decline in volume. That means we did not crack yet the way to make a growth on that one. And the market remains challenging with a competition and price war that is in front of us. Yes, another question. Several commercial KPIs at Cdiscount finally appear to be turning positive. What are the next steps for the business, and do you still consider the platform to be part of the Casino Group going forward? Yeah, H1 25 confirmed the commercial rebound that started in the end of H2 2024. That means growing both GMV and customer base. That means this is still pushing in the future. And the investment plan of Cdiscount. And Cdiscount on its own is a full part of a Casino Group Renouveau trajectory and focusing, as you understand, on brand equity, services, and B2B as well. And another question, your gross margin improved by approximately 1 percentage point in H1. Could you help us quantifying how much of this margin expansion is attributable to the Aura Purchasing Alliance? Alors, half of the growth margin improvement we have is linked to shrinkage improvement and logistic cost improvement, and the second half includes Aura, but not only. We have other improvement on this one.
A question from Charles Allen at Bloomberg. Why have trade payables increased from December 168% of inventory compared to 166%? Historically, payables were also lower in June than in December. So yes, indeed, trade payables are usually lower in June. This time, as I explained, we have a double effect. First of all, there is this implementation of our suppliers' shared service centers with new organizations which are progressing in the delivery of their task and acquiring knowledge in that respect. Secondly, there is this strong activity of May and June 2025, which led to an increase in outstanding amounts. This is mechanical. We also have a question from Geoffroy Michalet from ODDO. First question is, apart from the 20 million of debt paid on Quatrim in next few weeks, can you give us a view on the Quatrim real estate realization that you anticipate? And can you also more broadly give us view on your future real estate disposals, timing, and amount estimates? We will keep the market informed in due course after we complete those transactions. where what I can tell today is that there remain a global fair value of about half a billion euros on our balance sheet, with two-thirds are on the quartering side. Another question about the CAPEX. Do you feel the CAPEX plan is adequate to your needs? The CAPEX plan was set up together with our value creation plan and is then adequate to our needs. As you know, we intend to spend 1.2 billion euros over 4 years of the plan. However, this envelope has not been declined in a yearly spending, as effective needs may change from 1 year to another, and we have turned to be very vigilant on cost of CAPEX and may spend less than scheduled on some items, keeping more room of manoeuvre for other and later items. Four questions from Odo. Do you have discussions with your debt holders? It seems that the term loan B is trading at only 60% in its face value, implying a stress from debt holders. Also, is it not linked to your execution, which is good, but rather to the refinancing structure you inherited? Can you give us some update on upcoming refinancing negotiation and what it could mean for shareholders? The share price is reacting as if casino equity was not being at risk of being crushed by debt equitization. Are you confident debt holder will not have to transform debt into equity given current trends? We need first to exercise this 1 year extension for operational financings before March 26. And we need, of course, to discuss in due time with our creditors to tackle the TLB refinancing issue by March 26, since we need to have visibility 1 year ahead. Are there other questions?
Seems no.
I believe not. Thank you for your attention and time. And
yeah, thank you very much to all of you for attending this this presentation today. And for the one who's going to go on vacation, I wish you a great summer. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.